A Divine Comedy, A Good Omens Multivoice Podfic, written by Waywater and read by
Sky Asimaru
and Trap. Chapter 2. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way. Summary. A night out at a dingy comedy club in the company of his co-workers was certainly not Aziraphale Fell's first or second, or even 19th, choice for his Saturday evening. But now he can't get a certain red-haired comedian off of his mind. Saturday. Aziraphale Fell blinked his eyes open immediately and took in a deep breath. He reveled for a minute in the soft feel of his tartan flannel sheets against his pajama-clad body. He breathed in the scent of his bedroom, all notes of black tea and leather-bound books. He heard birds singing just outside the window. Aziraphale loved his Saturdays. He adored his job, please don't misunderstand. He practically lived for his young students, and tomorrow, while he was grading their assignments, he would be most delighted to think of them again. But today, well, today was for him to do exactly as he pleased. He'd have a nice breakfast, he'd catch up on some reading, perhaps wander off to his favorite bookshop a little later in the afternoon.
Good morning.
He said contentedly to nothing, to no one, to the birds, perhaps. Aziraphale rolled out of bed, almost already able to taste the enormous breakfast he was planning to cook up downstairs. There would be eggs and bacon and fruit and, oh, he wondered if he had everything he needed to make some nice muffins. His mobile went off. Aziraphale frowned. He'd meant to turn that horrid thing off for the weekend. He'd really only gotten one for work purposes. Much to his chagrin, his co-teachers kept up a pretty constant series of group text messages, and even if he'd thought it was polite, Aziraphale couldn't figure out how to turn it off. So he usually turned the whole device off at the end of the workday on Friday and didn't look back until Monday morning. Aziraphale picked up the phone and read the offending message.
See everyone tonight. Remember, doors open at 8:30 p.m. 9th Circle Club.
Followed by a series of tiny pictures that Aziraphale did not much care to interpret. His heart plummeted. He had entirely forgotten. It wasn't that he didn't like his fellow instructors at Tedfield Middle. As the years went on and on, though, it had become increasingly obvious to Aziraphale that, besides teaching, they really had very little in common. Not that that fact in and of itself was uncommon. Aziraphale was used to not exactly fitting in, and he was fine by himself. He really was. Why, he had the company of every great author and composer over the course of human history, didn't he? And, well, he wasn't very enthusiastic at all about the prospect of an evening spent in Uria and especially Sandalphon's company.
But you said yes,
a little voice reminded him.
Something made you say yes, Aziraphale.
Aziraphale sighed. He'd belong somewhere someday. He sat back down on his bed for a moment, feeling the sink and the gif of the mattress beneath him. The thought of an entire non-academic evening in his co-worker's company made his heart beat a little faster than he would have liked. He wondered for a minute if he oughtn't draw the curtains and go back to bed until the whole ghastly enterprise began. No. Aziraphale turned his attention back to the device still in his hand. Taking another deep breath, he willed himself to type.
Can't wait.
He perused his little picture options before sending the message. What conveyed an appropriate amount of enthusiasm about the evening ahead? He settled on a little green pear. He sighed as he clicked send. He liked pears. He shut the thing down and returned it to his bedside table, there to leave him unbothered for the rest of his lovely Saturday morning. He was Aziraphale Fell, and nothing was going to ruin his lovely Saturday morning. As the day went on, and as muffins were indeed baked and consumed, Aziraphale considered the appeal of stand-up comedy. He couldn't say that it immediately made sense to him. Whatever happened to the popularity of a good magic show? Because Aziraphale Fell knew what it felt like to be laughed at. It wasn't a feeling he thought he'd ever been keen to try to purposefully recreate. The day drew on and on, and as the time to depart for the show crept closer, Aziraphale found himself feeling increasingly nervous.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You're a grown adult, and it's just one night out with colleagues. We'll go to that nice sushi spot tomorrow,
he promised himself in his head. His anxiety was getting the better of him. Sitting in his favorite chair with a well-beloved book, he recognized that he was no longer able to focus, mind wandering instead to all the myriad ways tonight could go wrong. Perhaps the club wouldn't carry his preferred gin, just as an awful example. With an hour to go before his expected arrival, Aziraphale gave up. He shut his book ruefully and went to put on his long cream-colored coat. He would go for a little evening stroll and get some nice fresh air before being locked in what was sure to be a horrid, sticky place with his co-workers who didn't understand him. He went outside and welcomed the calming presence of the cool evening air on his face. He allowed himself a deep breath. Because Aziraphale was frustrated and worried and not at all looking forward to this outing, but he would get through it. He would. He'd been through worse. On the stroll to the comedy club, he paused outside of an absolutely darling little coffee shop.
Jasmine Cottage,
he said out loud to himself, reading the sign above the door. He smiled up at the friendly green awning. Yes, this was much more his speed than a dingy comedy club. He stepped inside. Oh, it was a charming place. He breathed in deeply the fragrance of strong coffee and sweet pastries. He spotted a squashy-looking armchair right up front near a window. Yes, some tea and a snack in a nice chair would set his spirits right again before he met up with his co-workers. He approached the front counter where a young lady in glasses was bent over the counter, mumbling to herself. Aziraphale hated to disturb her, but, well, he had locked eyes upon a rather decadent-looking tart of some sort in the glass case beneath the counter.
Pardon me, my dear,
he began, leaning down just a little to perhaps better be in range of the barista's sight. She jumped.
Oh, hi! Sorry, what can I get you, sir?
No need to apologize. Might I trouble you for a cup of Earl Grey and one of those lovely tarts in the case?
Sure thing.
She smiled back at him, seeming a little relieved. Perhaps because he hadn't snapped at her for being distracted? Humans really can be terrible sometimes, Aziraphale mused.
Coming right up.
May I ask what you were saying to yourself just now?
Aziraphale was terribly curious. He had been known to talk to himself from time to time, practicing lessons, working himself up for interactions with his co-workers, etc. It was a delight to meet a fellow self-mumbler.
I'm not crazy, I promise.
She assured him as she went about fixing his tea.
I'm a stand-up comedian, and I have a show tonight. Just trying to make sure I remember all my jokes.
My dear, will you be performing at the Ninth Circle Comedy Club by any chance?
That's the place.
A wave of relief flooded through Aziraphale. This peculiar mumbling barista seemed perfectly decent. Perhaps it wouldn't all be so terrible.
What do you like about it?
What do you mean?
About telling jokes in front of strangers.
Aziraphale couldn't explain why the idea was rattling around his head so intensely. He liked for things to make sense, and this was something he had managed to make no sense of so far.
Ah.
She turned to set his tea down in front of him.
Good question. My therapist probably wonders the same thing.
She smiled at him, and Aziraphale smiled back. Was he supposed to laugh? It had been a joke, he presumed. But was the care of one's mental health really something to joke about? Was that the point? Oh dear!
When it goes well,
she continued, kindly sparing him, eyes sparkling behind her spectacles.
And it doesn't always, believe me.
I believe you.
Aziraphale shivered at the thought.
But when it does go well, it's the most amazing, powerful feeling in the world. It's my voice, my words, my truth. If I can make someone laugh with all of my bullshit, then maybe it was all worth it after all. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know that I do.
Well, maybe you'll see tonight.
And she gave him one more kind smile before ducking down to retrieve his tart.
Thank you, my dear.
And thank you for visiting the Jasmine Cottage, sir.
Aziraphale brought his tea and his tart over to the armchair in front of the window. As he closed his eyes and swallowed his first sip of tea, he thought about what the funny barista had said.
If I can make someone laugh with all of my bullshit, then maybe it was all worth it after all.
Aziraphale thought about his own bullshit, as it were. He thought of loneliness, of not fitting in, of sometimes feeling like he was a joke that he himself wasn't in on. But he didn't see how any of it was at all funny. As he thought about it more and more, he just found himself feeling sad. He bit into a tart, willing the familiar, friendly flavors of apple and cinnamon to stuff down the despair that he felt rising in his throat. He closed his eyes and settled back into his chair. Soft. It was almost like being held by someone dear. Almost.
Oh, good Lord.
A zebrafail showed his ID to a rather surly-looking bouncer and made his way into the Ninth Circle Comedy Club. It was nearly as bad as he'd imagined it. The air was stale and sour, the lights were dim and dark. There was a poster on the hallway wall that read,
"Do not lick the walls."
Because someone tried before?
He wondered, with no small amount of dread.
Aziraphale, over here!
Aziraphale turned and forced a smile to his face. Uriel and Sandalphon had already claimed a small table near the back of the room. Uriel was fine, though she did have a tendency to look at Aziraphale as though he were constantly showing up to school with his shoes on backwards. Sandalphon was another situation. Aziraphale didn't care for the way he interacted with his students. He seemed to think that shame and unkindness were great academic motivating factors, and he deployed them like weapons in his classroom. Aziraphale surveyed the small table before them, already laden with empty glasses. Oh dear. He was going to need to catch up. He offered them a polite wave before hauling himself to the bar just past them. They did not have his gin. Aziraphale sipped his drink, noticing that he felt oddly anxious. His eyes kept darting over to a bunch of people in the corner by the stage, scribbling furiously in their little notebooks. The comedians, he presumed. They all looked so terribly nervous, the poor things. Aziraphale hoped that they all had a good time up there.
Thinking of joining them, Aziraphale?
Uriel's voice snapped him out of his reverie. He turned back to his little group. They were staring at him, as they often did, as though he himself was some great joke.
Heavens, no.
Aziraphale smiled, trying to stay polite.
This is bonding. This is important,
he reminded himself. Sandalphon clapped him, rather too hard, on the shoulder.
Stick to your day job, Aziraphale.
I'm going to,
Aziraphale said, really wishing that they could close the door on this particular subject. But Sandalphon couldn't let it go.
Can you imagine Aziraphale doing comedy?
Sandalphon proceeded to poorly attempt to mimic Aziraphale's voice.
What's the deal with waistcoats, am I right?
Uriel laughed out loud, and Aziraphale nodded, a polite smile plastered across his face. He wondered if he still had time to feign a sudden illness in order to go home. His sushi restaurant didn't close until 10, after all. But just as Aziraphale was gathering up his nerve to abandon the Enterprise, the lights of the club finally dimmed and some awful loud rock music started to play over some hidden speakers. Aziraphale winced at the record as everyone else in the audience began to cheer. He really wished he'd stayed home.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ninth Circle Comedy Club. Give it up for your host for the evening, Anthony J. Crowley!
A tall figure, clad all in black, looped out onto the stage from behind the curtain. He was skinny, all long, gangly limbs. His long fingers wrapped so easily around the microphone as he pulled it free from its stand. His copper hair was half pulled away off of his face, and the rest of it brushed against his long neck and narrow shoulders. He wore dark sunglasses and the tightest jeans that Aziraphale had ever seen. Not that Xiaofei thought he had ever seen anyone like Anthony J. Crowley before.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Ninth Circle Comedy Club. How's everybody doing tonight?
Rather terribly, thank you.
Xiaofei thought to himself, as the rest of the crowd continued to shout. After that, Xiaofei barely registered the actual words coming out of the comic's mouth. He felt mesmerized by the way he moved about the stage, by the certainty in the way he held the microphone, by the way he was never tripped up by the cord or the mic stand. He moved like something out of another world. Far too quickly, the red-haired comedian was rousing the audience in cheers for someone else, and then walking off the stage.
Come back!
Xiaofei wanted to beg, fascinated.
Who are you? Why do you do this? Does it make you happy? Why?
I'm a bit of a flash bastard, if you ask me.
Sandalphon leaned forward to whisper to Uriel and Xiaofei. Probably just to Uriel, really, who rewarded his comment with a smirk. Xiaofei tried to pretend that he hadn't heard, tried to fix his attention on the new comedian on stage, but all he could focus on was the thought of Anthony J. Crowley. He did perk up when the kind barista took the stage. Xiaofei knew he was certainly no expert, but she was really quite good. The rest of the crowd must have thought so too, cheering and laughing as they were.
Xiaofei's a tough critic,
Sandalphon whispered, not as quietly as he ought have. Please understand that Xiaofei did not condone speaking over the performing arts, but...
Whatever do you mean?
You haven't laughed out loud once tonight, Xiaofei,
Uriel pointed out. Xiaofei turned back to his drink, not having a good answer.
Wonderful,
he thought to himself, but had miserably.
Another thing you're not doing correctly.
Because he actually was having a better time than he expected. The barista had been quite charming and talented, and oh, Anthony J. Crowley was back on stage, and Xiaofei didn't think he would get over just how effortless the man looked up there. He made the stage of that sticky comedy club look like the stage of Shakespeare's Globe. And, as with Shakespeare, the words that Crowley uttered didn't always make immediate sense to Xiaofei's ears, but he thought he could probably listen to them all night.
Imagine being an actual demon in hell. What must that be like? I mean, we all think our jobs are hell, I know.
Xiaofei frowned as the rest of the audience snickered around him. He didn't think his job was hell at all. He thought of the shining white walls of the hallways of Tedfield Middle. Thought of his sweet students. Thought of the annual choir concert which Xiaofei had never missed. With the exception of his co-workers, Xiaofei thought his job was a little like heaven.
Is that funny? Probably not.
On stage, Anthony J. Crowley was still talking.
But I mean, really, think about that. What must a memo look like in hell? To all employees, from the demon known as Crowley. Subject, I'm writing to inform you that there's to be rather a big inquisition in Spine over the next few years. Please forward all questions to my work email address. Also, please use the kitchen on the second floor if you need a microwave.
Aziraphale smiled at the idea of a memo sent from hell. He wondered what an accompanying memo from heaven would look like.
Attention, distinguished colleagues. I am writing to inform you that there will be cake in the third floor conference room today to celebrate all the January birthdays. Angel's food, of course. Sincerely, the Principality Aziraphale.
Was that funny? Before he could really let his imagination wander, Aziraphale found himself distracted by barely hushed whispers soft to his side. He turned to see Uriel and Sandalphon speaking in low tones and laughing. Aziraphale felt instantly horrified. He didn't frequent comedy clubs, it was true, but he knew that at the symphony at last, this sort of behavior would never stand. Just as he leaned forward to hush them,
"Would you care to share with the entire class, my friend?"
Aziraphale felt his face flush instantly. When he turned back to the stage, there was terribly handsome Anthony J. Crowling glaring at the table from behind his dark glasses.
"I wanted to know,"
shouted Sandalphon, and Aziraphale flushed hotter still. This was entirely unacceptable behavior.
"Are trousers that tight standard issue in hell?"
Aziraphale didn't know what to do. He was stuck with Sandalphon after all. Would see him bright and early every Monday morning for, likely, eternity. He might never see Anthony J. Crowley again. Oh, that idea landed on Aziraphale with a weight he did not expect.
"What is this table, by the way?"
Aziraphale realized with horror that Crowley was referring to all three of them. He wanted to stand up on the table and protest that he would never talk over Crowley's jokes. Wanted to shout out into the smoky air,
"They don't even like me!"
"Did you three get lost on your way to see the Sound of Music revival or something? Climb every mountain, guys!"
Sandalphon shouted back, and the crowd around them laughed. And again, Aziraphale wanted to protest, desperately wanted to explain that he much preferred The King and I when it came to Rodgers and Hammerstein, actually. But Aziraphale stayed silent, tried to keep his eyes on his drink, kept his hands to himself, sat back and let his colleague ruin this strange man's evening.
"You're a fool and a coward, Aziraphale,"
whispered an awful voice in Aziraphale's head. The show ended, the audience clapped, and Anthony J. Crowley slunk off the stage. Aziraphale felt horrible.
"I've seen better,"
Sandalphon insisted as he and Uriel began to gather their coats from the backs of their chairs. Aziraphale, smartly, not knowing what all those chairs had seen, had not taken his off. Uriel shrugged a little.
"Yeah, they were all right."
Aziraphale felt himself growing warm around the ears. Perhaps he should have taken his coat off after all. He felt it welling up in him, that familiar, gentle dissent. That little murmur of opposition that kept him apart from the rest of them, that kept him on his own. That made him odd.
"Leave it alone, Aziraphale."
He couldn't. He never could.
"I thought they were all quite lovely,"
Aziraphale argued, but he looked down at his hands as he stood up for the comedians. Uriel laughed at that.
Yeah, we could all tell as Seraphel. Your boyfriend in the dark glasses is over at the bar, by the way. You should say hi.
Xerophil turned in the direction of her gaze and... Oh my. There he was, indeed. Tall, crimson-haired Anthony J. Crowley, sitting at the bar in the back of the room. He looked so unnatural off of the stage. He didn't appear to be sitting atop his barstool so much as someone somewhere had poured him into it. Could a man be formed from liquid? What was Anthony J. Crowley made of?
You're staring, Xerophil.
Those trousers must have made some impact.
Sandalphon leered. Xerophil whirled back around to face his colleagues, something inside of him finally cracking a bit.
You know, I think I will go over and say something. Lovely to have seen you both. Quite looking forward to Monday morning.
And before they could make him feel more absurd than he already did, Xerophil turned back and found himself marching over to the bar and to the strange, beautiful man who sat slumped there. Xerophil watched the comedian known as Crowley drink his whiskey for a moment before working up the courage to say something. He was even more fascinating up close. There was something crooked about him. He was uneven, mouth pulled down in one corner, one eyebrow raised above his dark glasses, one hip shunted off to the side on its stool, one leg jutting out beneath him. He was angles and frowns and whiskey neat, and Xerophil had no earthly idea what to say to him.
Hello,
is what he finally decided on. Anthony J. Crowley turned around, mouth already open, like a serpent about to strike. When he saw Xerophil, however, he stopped and clamped his mouth shut again.
What?
He finally snapped.
I'm terribly sorry to interrupt.
Xerophil managed, ashamed of the tremor that he detected in his own voice. He felt so cowardly in front of Crowley.
Well, you have,
Crowley pointed out, and, oh dear, this wasn't going well at all.
So get on with it.
Yes, Will. I'm frightfully ashamed to admit it, but one of my colleagues was the gentleman who was so unkind during your performance. I was hoping that I might apologize on his behalf.
On his behalf?
Crowley managed a rather impressive imitation of Xerophil's voice.
Listen, Angel, it's none of my business what sort of company you keep, but don't come crying to me for forgiveness.
Angel? He is a work colleague who has regrettably over-imbibed this evening.
Xerophil explained, hating the feeling of this man's ire in his direction.
I merely thought this was the polite thing, coming to talk to you.
Crowley laughed at him. Xerophil wished he was being funny on purpose. Wished he could do something to coax a genuine laugh from Anthony J. Crowley.
Ha! I'm sorry your work colleague is a complete and total arse. And don't worry your fluffy head about me, Angel. I've dealt with worse.
Xerophil believed him. Couldn't imagine what awful things drunken audience members might have said to him in the past.
Well,
Xerophil breathed, willing his voice to be steady.
Well, I'm sorry on behalf of them, too.
What do you really want?
Crowley leaned forward on his barstool.
What do you really want, Aziraphale?
I'm not quite sure, really.
Aziraphale confessed, shifting his gaze to his hands.
Well, call me when you figure it out,
Crowley said, before turning back to his drink. And Aziraphale had a million more things that he wanted to say, that he wanted to ask. But Crowley's back was turned to him, his sharp shoulders hunched up around his ears. Aziraphale felt himself possessed with a desire to reach out and touch those shoulders, to try to coax them into something like relaxation. But he'd had a chance once already to protect Anthony J. Crowley tonight, and he'd failed. He kept his silly mouth shut, and he'd let this creature be hurt. Wondering how it was possible to be so completely laughable without being at all funny, Aziraphale abandoned the Ninth Circle Comedy Club. Aziraphale was not a person who needed much sleep. At least not a person who wanted much sleep. His mind was too alert, too constantly worrying. When he did go to close his eyes at night, his brain kept him awake. So why not make another cup of tea and stay up? Trusty mug of Earl Grey in hand, Aziraphale sat down at his desk, pushed aside the stack of book reports that he really needed to get around to grading the following morning. He took a deep sip of tea and settled back, allowing this to be pleasant instead of strange. He relished research of diving deep and learning everything he could about a fascinating subject. It reminded him of his university days, which seemed like centuries ago now. He typed Anthony J. Crowley into his internet's browser search engine. And there he was, the very same grouchy, handsome comedian. It seemed that he always wore those dark sunglasses, Aziraphale noted as he scrolled through image after image. He finally found a glasses-free picture, and he couldn't help but smile at it. It was a much younger Crowley, looking just so impossibly 90s. His skinny shoulders were practically drowning in the oversized red blazer he wore. His red hair had been shorter then, spiked up at the front. His mouth was wide open, obviously speaking into the microphone. No one ever looks particularly attractive when they're enunciating, but Aziraphale really had to hand it to 90s Anthony J. Crowley. He was certainly making an effort. And his eyes. Aziraphale frowned for a moment and leaned closer to the monitor. Had the image been worked up somewhere with that Photoshop device? Young Crowley's eyes appeared to glow gold, burning into him across time and space and technology. Aziraphale had never seen eyes like that before. He couldn't imagine why Crowley covered them up now. Aziraphale didn't know why, but his heart broke a little for the young comic in the image. Aziraphale wondered if he'd always been so combative and surly, or had something happened to this darling young man that had made him hot and angry with the world.
Well, maybe not with the world. Maybe just with you.
Aziraphale took another sip of his tea and proceeded now to click on articles about Crowley. It seemed the comic had been something of a star on the rise in his red blazer days, but there wasn't much out there about his current existence. Aziraphale found a Twitter account, @unhingedaj indeed, he thought to himself. And there was information about last night's open mic, or podcast episode or two, and then from the Ninth Circuit's website.
Intro to stand-up comedy with Anthony J. Crowley. Sunday evenings, 7 to 9pm. You can't do it with style if you don't know what to do.
Sandalphon's words from earlier drifted into his mind.
Can you imagine Aziraphil doing comedy?
And Aziraphil couldn't, now that he tried. He thought again of all those nervous comedians he'd observed staring down into their notebooks. He thought of how brave it was to put yourself out on the line like that, offering yourself up to an audience for that kind of judgment. He thought of Anthony J. Crowley's remarkable eyes, and he wondered what it would feel like to be brave. Sunday. Aziraphil Fell blinked his eyes open immediately and took in a deep breath. He went about his Sunday morning as though it were any other. He made his tea, he graded book reports, he listened to Schubert. It was all rather lovely. He ignored the reality about the very unusual thing he was set out to do with his Sunday night. At last, though, it was time to go. As he made his way back to the comedy club, as if he really tried to imagine what it would be like to take the stage and tell jokes himself. He didn't have much in the way of stage fright. Years and years of teaching middle school could certainly knock that fear out of a person. And people generally found him odd anyway. His clothes, his manner of speaking, everything about him, really. Aziraphil had learned to let that slide off of him as well. He had his books and his tea and his nice little restaurants where they knew his name. What did he really need other people for?
So why are you going?
Countered a terribly practical voice in his head. Aziraphil bit his lip as he thought about it. Gradually, he came to the conclusion that he had two goals in signing up for this class. Firstly, he wanted to get to know Anthony J. Crowley better, though he really couldn't tell you why just yet. Secondly, he wanted to find out if he had anything to say. As Aziraphil approached the club, he wondered if he'd come to the correct entrance. His confirmation email had been terribly vague on proper instructions. He knocked softly at the backstage entrance, and it swung open harshly to reveal a tall man with messy, dirty blonde hair, whom Aziraphil recognized from the night before.
"What do you want?"
the tall comedian asked, gruffly.
"Hello,"
Aziraphil responded, because someone else's lack of manners was never any excuse for one's own.
"I'm here for the comedy class. Is this where I should be?"
The tall man took a step backwards to look Aziraphil up and down.
"You don't look funny,"
he told Aziraphil plainly. Aziraphil smiled at him. This man might be a fellow student, after all, and it would be a long 6 weeks together if he couldn't be civil.
"Well, that's why I'm here to learn, I suppose. If you'll excuse me, my dear fellow."
And Aziraphil sidled past the man, who was frowning even more deeply. As he walked away, Aziraphil thought he heard,
"My dear fellow,"
uttered under the man's breath, was something like surprise and disdain. Aziraphil took a seat in the back of the house, only now beginning to feel a little nervous. This was quite possibly the most ridiculous thing he'd ever done.
Your boyfriend in the dark glasses.
Aziraphale swallowed. He was a well-read, polite schoolteacher with a fondness for his students and for nice apple tarts. Surely he hadn't paid actual money for a stand-up comedy class just because of some fiery red hair and a set of impossible hips. Suddenly the door flew open, and there he was, once again clad in all black and wearing those sunglasses. As he lazily argued with a tall man at the door, Aziraphale took a moment to busy himself with getting out his new notebook and pencil. He wanted to look prepared, not that he was positive that preparedness would impress this grouchy, lanky comedian in the dark glasses. When he looked back up, the same grouchy, lanky comedian in the dark glasses was staring in his direction, mouth hanging open.
What are you doing here?
He asked, and he could mean no one but Aziraphale. Each of his new classmates turned their heads to stare in his direction as well. Part of Aziraphale wanted to stand up and shout,
I've as much right to be here as any of the rest of you. I paid my money. Teach me to be funny.
Instead, she gripped his pencil a little more tightly.
What are you doing here, Aziraphale?
He repeated to himself.
I'm lonely, and the instructor is rather gorgeous.
Is what he couldn't bring himself to say.
I'm here to learn the basics of stand-up comedy.
Aziraphale answered with all the honesty he could muster.
Send in the clowns.
He thought to himself, feeling now like a bit of an idiot.
Oh, wait. They're here.
To be continued in chapter 3.